This podcast is brought to you by Saturday Avenue Productions, honey. Celebrate good times. Come on. This is the Pamela Roxanne Show, honey, and you are listening to the Pamela Roxanne. We are about to get into a lovely guest. It's a bomb guest. It's the celebrity chef, Chef Stu. He is currently on Marriage Boot Camp with your girl, Misha Lay. This is going to be a bomb interview. Make sure that you get you a plate of something while you listen. Be crunching and munching and chewing while you're listening, baby, because it's going to be good. It's going to be good, and I want you to be chewing something good. Make sure it's good. Put in the comments what you got. Because I'm coming over, okay? Because I'm coming over and we need... No, I'm not. Quarantine, that's right. Wash your hands. Wash your hands and get your plate of something. I'll be right back with these antics. Hey, everybody. This is Pamela Roxanne and you are listening to the Pamela Roxanne Show. I have a wonderful guest here with me. I have Chef Stu. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm shucking and jiving. Now, Chef Stu, you guys, is an amazing, talented celebrity chef who has worked with a lot of big names out there. I actually have a list. I have Michelle, I have Layla Hathaway, Jasmine Guy, Shaq, Malcolm Jamal Warner, and Tracee Ellis Ross. We all know Tracee Ellis Ross. We all know Malcolm Jamal Warner. We all know these people. Jasmine Guy. How does it feel to work for these people and have them taste your food and have these great things to say?
In all due honesty, it was kind of like, I would say, like the coolest thing in the world, because as you said, I mean, I grew up watching these people on television and I had no idea that I would actually ever cross their paths, let alone acquire a skill that I could utilize within them. And so it really just was a confidence booster to be able to cross their paths, because I was inspired by them and looked up to them and fell in love with them even before I knew them. And so to meet them and have them try my stuff was amazing.
Now, what is the crowd favorite?
The crab cake.
The crab cake.
Baltimore originally, yeah. You know, the crab cake is key. Everybody loves the crab cake.
Is there something that you can tell people? You don't have to give away your secret ingredient, but is there something you can tell the listeners that they might not expect to put in a crab cake? Can you tell them how to spice up their crab cakes at home?
Well, by that being my signature item, I might want to keep my special.
Oh, wait, not. Gotcha. Say no more.
I will say this, though. I actually do have a book where I actually give away the crab cake recipe. So the crab cake recipe will be coming to the public soon.
Okay, so y'all heard it here first. There's a book coming. Y'all can get your hands on a delectable crab cake. Now, if you were not a chef, what do you think that you would be out here in the world?
A defense attorney or an astronaut?
Now, could you explain defense attorney to me?
Well, I've been having to get off cases my whole life. You growing up in the house with a younger brother, mother come home sometimes and try to blame you for something that you ain't do. And I would have to kind of remind my mother of everything that happened and kind of put the whole storyline together and let her see that I wasn't the one who she should be blaming. So I kind of had to prove some cases in the house. Like, mine, no, listen, that wasn't me. Remember, you told me to do this. I left. I came back. Mm-hmm. You said this. I said that. He went to the store. I came back. And that's when it happened. So how could I? And then she like, you know what? So it always worked out.
Okay. Now, astronaut, you know, is a leap from chef. Could we hear more about your love of space or astronauting?
I mean, just really, honestly, just understanding that the universe is definitely designed very, you know, is intricate. And so just as a gesture, I guess, to just kind of see it, I would have always liked to have been able to go into outer space so that I could kind of just look at the Earth from the outside looking in. Because to me, when you really understand how the Earth really works, it is an amazing thing. And so
true that.
I just wanted to kind of see it from the outside looking in. to get a better understanding that we're in the middle of a floating ball in the middle of nowhere. And super fast, yet it makes no noise. And everything that's designed in that is also in us. So I know some people think, well, that's good. You can kind of figure all that out without going up there. But he did design a way where we could go and look and see. And I would have been happy if I could have been one of the people who could look at the universe from the outside looking in.
That's amazing. That's really amazing. And I'm sure a lot of people can identify with that same reasoning, because we're all on this blue ball. And, you know, a lot of people can feel that way. It is amazing. Just what you said. Now, you are highly decorated in your field. You have been on our television on a lot of different shows. You've been on Guy's Grocery Games, Cutthroat Kitchen. You have you are a member of the NAACP.
Yeah.
Could you tell us a little bit about the NAACP?
Well, as you just kind of said, that after, you know, I kind of guess we skipped a little bit because I worked at a bunch of establishments and really built up my skill set that would lead me to cook into celebrities that would in turn put me on television and allow for me to become a Food Network star by winning that show. And so it became a time where I felt as though I just wanted to stop and give God some sort of appreciation for what I had been able to accomplish in my journey. And so, of course, we all know that truly you probably sound crazy to say, hey, I want to pay God back. But you know that if he did something, you just wanted to show some sort of appreciation. And so what I did was I came up with a foundation called Transition Kitchen Foundation, where I would start my own culinary arts curriculum and basically break down everything that I know into some sort of a program. This would allow for people to be able to take the program and learn the basics of cooking. So in the essence, what I did was create an atmosphere where I could share the knowledge, the resources, and experiences that I had so that I could show the communities around the world that there was another opportunity for you guys to get out of this situation, because it actually worked for me. And so in that, the program started in Baltimore. It eventually expanded to San Francisco, Detroit, Las Vegas. And in that, while in Las Vegas, I became partners with the United Way first. United Way of Southern Nevada, I had a chance to start connecting with them and getting them to kind of get on board with me. And from that, they connected me with the NAACP. And so the president of the NAACP, Roxanne McCoy, was elated when she got a chance to kind of sit down and talk to me about where I was going at with my program and what I was trying to do. And so from that, I became a member of the NAACP. And it's kind of funny because my hometown, Baltimore, actually is the headquarters for the NAACP. So we already had some alliances within them through the foundation. And I work with them to this day. If you go through my page, you'll see me doing some of the events for them. And so it also kind of helped because I began to start to cater events that the NAACP had.
That is very amazing. I like the giving back aspect of it all. I really do like that. And about cooking on television with the Guy's Grocery Games and Cutthroat Kitchen and all the guest spots that you do on the news and things of that nature, when you're cooking on these shows, do you feel rushed, or is take me through that process?
Actually, it's like really, really, really it's tension, because let's not forget that, you know, they dangle the prize in your eyes, which is the money. Mm-hmm. And so, you know what I'm saying? You're always going to get everybody's, you know, a little bit of that. But, you know, you're talking $25,000, you're talking $20,000 prizes. And so it is really stressful because you don't want to lose the money. And then cooking, you can't really mess up. You got one chance to actually do something right. If not, we don't get another product to be able to do it in. And so the nervousness is just always there. And then you kind of just basically, you got 30 minutes to actually do it. And so that's really where the tension gets built up at, because 30 minutes to shop, cook, and plate that's a lot to ask for somebody in 30 minutes. And then on top of that, you got 3 or 4 other people doing the same exact thing. So you kind of just got to like block them out and just hope that you don't get some products that you aren't familiar with, or you kind of like can't even get caught up in what your competitors are doing, because if you're looking at what I'm doing the whole time, when are you going to make your dish?
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know what I'm saying? So, and then it's not really a, like a drama-based thing, so they don't really need you to kind of, you know, go after your castmates, but at the same time, too, like, they try to want you to
banter.
You try to throw them off or something, but it was a challenging experience. I actually got eliminated on Guy's Grocery Games because I was moving way too fast, but that's actually how I won Cutthroat Kitchen, because I understood that time, in a sense, doesn't move as fast as you think that it is sometimes, and you're just so nervous. And so when I realized that I could have slowed down and still be able to perform at a high level, that's how I ended up winning.
That's that anxiety. It's okay, though. You know, you shake it off, you move forward. I know that feeling. And so with the industry soup, could you tell everybody a little bit more about that?
Okay, so industry soup really was a thing, because when I first started cooking for, you know, the names that you have mentioned before, I had cooked for them. So, like, it was individuals that basically was like, man, look, you got a great personality, you can cook, you need your own TV show. And I'm like, not having a restaurant per se in Atlanta, and everybody, my name going out and everybody wanted to know about my food and taste it, I actually started to invite people to my house. And so the people that came to my house would all be celebrities. And I kind of just said, you know what, like, industry soup is a day in the life of an up and coming celebrity chef in Atlanta. Y'all want to know what this looks like? Let me show y'all. So every time that one of these high-end celebrities call me and want me to do an event for them or want to cook, taste my food, I'm going to actually have them come to the house. And if they don't mind, I'm going to actually film it. So it was a non-scripted show. Basically just got the opportunity to just kind of sit down and chop it up, because I felt like a lot of the people that I had met behind closed doors never seemed to appear how they were on these, you know, these platforms that they was on. So they loved the idea of coming in. This isn't a Q&A. I'm not about to scrutinize you. I'm actually not even really a talk show host, so you really don't have to worry about me asking you a bunch of questions. You can ask me some questions if you want. But the whole idea was just to get us in, having a candid conversation of some normalcy, and at some point they could sneak in some tips that they wanted to give their fans on what it takes to get to the top, or the people who might have been following the show. And so I had 6 or 7 guests come onto the show, which was actress comedian Linnell kind of was one of my biggest guests on the show. And from that, we built a great relationship from that show.
Now, did you have, this is all out of your pocket, the financing for the documentary?
Yeah.
Did you find any hardships or anything you had to overcome to film that?
Not at all. I mean, I had to pay my rent whether these people came over here or not. You know what I'm saying? So the set was my house. So I really didn't have to go out at it. I mean, I'm a chef, and so I always had the food. And then I was only really cooking for that one in particular guest, maybe a friend or so. So anytime somebody came on the show, I only had to cover the food for 2 people. I never paid any of the guests. So that was all just done on the strength, which I find now, years later, that was really a bigger blessing than I probably would have known, because, you know, don't nobody really do anything for free.
Yeah.
But ironically, everybody that appeared on the show came on a strength to meet me, try my food, and I guess in their own little way helped give me a little notoriety for what it is that I do. So I definitely want to say thank you to all of the people who came through the Industry Soup Show for me in Atlanta to kind of help me.
Okay, that's really, really wonderful. Now, you guys, we're going to take a short little break and be right back with more of Chef Stu, and we're going to talk about how he met Lunel the comedian. We're going to talk about opening a catering service, and I have a few questions about your dating and love life on Marriage Bootcamp that he's currently on right now. So we're going to take a short break, and you guys get into the playlist that are about to play from the Pamela Roxanne playlist on Spotify. You just type my name in, you click the little cartoon, and you jam. It's as simple as that. And we'll be right back. Hey, everybody, this is your girl, Pamela Roxanne. We are back on the Pamela Roxanne Show with Chef Stu. You're still breathing over there. How you doing, Chef Stu?
I'm still hanging in there, COVID-19. I'm still quarantining, but I'm good.
Good, good, good. Stay in the house. We don't need you just yet. We just stay in the house, baby. So, how did you meet Lunel, the wonderful comedian?
I met Lunel actually doing a docuseries at the crib, Industry Soup. Basically just reaching out to different people in Atlanta. It was coming through, and so it happened that Lunel was in town for the Ricky Smiley show. Reached out, said, Lunel, Chef Stu, you want to meet you? Want to come over, cook for him? You don't mind? She said, no problem. And she showed up at the house, and we became, like, instantaneously cool that same day. It was crazy. My son was there. My daughter was there, so she got a chance to meet my kids, and I think that it had a lot to do with my daughter because she was just, she loved my little girl. And from that, we became friends. We exchanged numbers, and she actually ended up coming back to Atlanta maybe about 2 weeks after we first met. And at that point, she called me and said, hey, I'm back in Atlanta. I'm hungry. Can I come over? I said, yeah, sure. I'm like, we don't got film this time, but just come on over and chill. And so she came through. And from that, we just stayed in touch with each other. And eventually, I felt like I had outgrown Atlanta. And so Lunel was the one that I actually called and said, hey, listen, I wanna come to over there and try to see if I can, you know, make some different moves. And it happened to be her birthday. And so she said, well, yeah, let's have a party for my birthday and we can talk about different things. And I ended up became her personal chef. And so I went to her birthday party. And from the birthday party, she just basically never really let me out of her sight.
That's absolutely amazing. Lunel is a hometown favorite around here. She's not from here, but she around my hometown. We love her. I don't know anybody around here who doesn't.
No, she's super cool. She really is. I know.
Right.
That she do all the jokes about all the crazy stuff, but she got a spiritual side to her too, and I love and respect her for it. And out of all the people that I've had a chance to meet and interact with, she definitely genuinely was somebody who day one has always, you know, kept in touch with me. And as you notice, there's a lot of people that I had to cook for and, you know, had the opportunity to work with. But kind of after that day, chances is we might not talk too much more. But she always was one that Kate stayed in touch with me.
That's wonderful. That's real down to earth moves right there. Now, with your chef career, is there any way in the future you would want to have a restaurant, or would you want to continue being with the celebrities and personal chefing? Is that what you would call that?
Well, to be honest, the goal really never was to kind of be a personal chef thing. I kind of had to utilize what I had while I was moving forward. But no, Stew Sticks is my fast casual concept. I've actually been, that's been my menu to the celebrities. And so in a way, I kind of wanted to make sure that the public could actually access the food that I give to the famous people, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's where that come in with Stew Sticks. And so instead of it just being a menu used for catering only, I actually turned it into a restaurant concept. And so I've been working on that every day. Obviously, with everything going on, I'll slow down the process. But that is the end game, that our Stew Sticks franchises would be in stadiums, airports, casinos, all across the world.
Now, I will say about the Stew Sticks, I saw the logo on your Instagram. The logo looks delicious, as well as the actual products. Everything looked really great.
Oh, thank you, because it took a while to find one that I liked. It really was a challenge to get one that I agreed on. And once they showed me that one, I felt like you, and you ain't even see the other one. So if you'd have seen the other one, you'd have been like, yes, dude, I don't know what you was thinking. This one right here, this is it.
I need some advice now. Is for all the people that ever wanted to pick up a frying pan, is there advice that you have for people who want to chef and be in the professional cooking industry?
Honestly, there's some natural qualities that can make this a little bit better for you. If you know that you're real organized, that you know that you're a people person, and you can take criticism really well, then you definitely really kind of got what it takes already to become a chef, because you definitely learn with your eyes and not necessarily with your ears. But if you're not really because they talk about the teachability and the changeability, and you know that whole teachability index, and so it's great because everybody can be taught something, but can you actually make the change is the hard part. And so I would suggest that if anybody would go in, that they would be going in with the mindset that a lot of stuff that they do, somebody's gonna have to try to change it within you. And some people don't like that, not what people do. And that's something that goes on all the time behind doors in the food world is constantly being critiqued for every little thing that you do.
Very true.
Aggravates some people, but if you're a perfectionist, then you would like that, because eventually nothing feels better than the chef giving you a task and not babysitting you to do it, where you can see the confidence has been built up with you. And so everybody in the kitchen strives for the approval of the chef.
Do you like working solo, or would you like to have a kitchen staff?
I do have a staff. A lot of the stuff that I do requires me. Now, I've done events where I've cooked for hundreds of people by myself, because back to that whole perfectionist thing that I just told you, like, I can do it better than, faster than you would be able to do it. But throughout my program, that's kind of where the whole Transition Kitchen program came in at, by me actually offering a training program for kids and youth all around. Then eventually what happens is some of those kids go through the program, and so we got to take them through the program. Some of them decide, hey, look, this cooking thing ain't for me, Stu. You know what I'm saying? I'm cool. Then you got other people who say, no, you know what? I like this. I want to stay in this. What else can I do? And so my give back with them is when I get events, then I bring some of the students from the Transition Kitchen program. So the more students take the program, events become future employees of with me.
Okay. Yeah,
so I help them get jobs, and the jobs that they get is based on the jobs that I get. So,
how are you constantly not out of breath? That you are all everywhere and amazing everywhere. That's great. That's really great.
Well, you know, the funny part about it is that, like, you know, some people are just getting familiar today, and so it sounds like the salesman on the subway opened up his jacket and he got all of these things. But honestly, you know, I've been at this for like a lot longer than most people might have already noticed. And so it's not necessarily like trying to do all these things at one time. Eventually, I've been able to, you know, diversify myself and find the right people to work with to keep things going so that I can continue to do what it is that I do. And so.
And you've accumulated quite a resume. That's kudos.
Thank you.
No problem. And I do want to know about your cookbook. Tell me, what is there a theme to the cook? Is it Southern food or?
Oh, no, you know what? Honestly, it's more so of a recipe. It's like a short story kind of sort of thing. So I don't want to get people confused that like they're about to get. Eventually, I'll get to one of those. But I gotta guard all those secrets right now, because I need y'all to fall in love with the food. And then once everybody falls in love with the food, I say, okay, hey, look, this is how I did everything. Y'all can go home and do it yourselves. But for right now, come on into this restaurant or hire me to come and do an event so that you can try the food. But I do got a little short story. It's kind of funny. It's called Marlin the Crab. And so this crab store that I used to go, because I'm from Baltimore, we love crabs. And so it was the store I used to go to all the time on Marlin Avenue. And so when I thought about my life and just thought about how everything ended up happening, I left Baltimore with the crab cake to go to Atlanta as my signature item. Atlanta, stayed in Atlanta for a little while. That didn't really go as planned. Eventually, I would go to San Francisco, do some more things, and then Vegas. And so this book is just about this crab that travels with me. And so in a sense, I become the crab, because I'm taking the crab across the world and introducing people to the crab. And so in the end of it, I turn the crab into a crab cake, and I'll let you guys have it so that you will know how to make the crab cake at home.
And how much do those seminars run you, like the classes?
Oh, my Transition Kitchen program, crazy as it sounds, and it was designed to be free.
Oh, see.
I never charged the community. Always kind of ran with a grassroots program, made it a community-based initiative. And so we just basically crowdfunded and got sponsors to help finance the program. Because after all, I can't take this program to a city where nobody has anything and then say, hey, guys, it costs this amount of money to be able to do it. So I found a way to be able to cut costs to make it as cheap as possible for us as a staff, but at the same time free to the student. Now, they don't have to pay for anything, and the students that come to the program, they receive a book bag, they get a hat, they get an apron, they get a cotton glove, they get slip-resistant shoe covers, digital thermometer, flash drive, pencil, pen, marker, Sharpie, small notepad, large notepad, cotton glove, all that's theirs to keep.
Wow.
And we cover the food for the demonstrations, because the class is set up that we do some book work and do a cooking demonstration. So by design, if a person isn't interested in cooking, when they walk away, I mean, as far as professionally, like, they still walk away with knowing how to make 10 meals that they didn't know how to make prior.
It's amazing. That's really amazing. And the fact that it's free is even more great because we need more programs out here for kids and for people to get
the hobby. Well, I can tell you, my VP has been telling me, we got to figure out. Now, he's just joking, but it really has been a challenge to do that because when you hear this, and I can hear the excitement in your voice, and then I got to admit that that's biting off a lot at times because once the program wasn't receiving the funding, it was left up to me to kind of figure out, okay, how do we still pay and get all these things afloat? Wow. But it was all worth it because I had a little boy in Baltimore. We actually worked with some judges in Baltimore to use the Transient Kitchen Foundation as an alternative sentencing program. And so I wanted to make sure that there was an outlet for some people, low-level criminals, maybe people just coming home, that could kind of avoid this. And so there happened to be a particular case of a guy who was in some legal trouble. The judge agreed to allow for him to take the Transient Kitchen program, and he did, and he got out of it. He loved it. He fell in love with everything, and he began working two jobs. He actually works at Five Guys, and he works at Olive Garden, and his testimony is actually available on my Instagram page and on Transient Kitchen's YouTube channel, and you can hear it from the horse's mouth of a little guy who I took who was headed down the wrong path, turned his life around, and now he's successful in the restaurant industry. And that was the moment that I realized that every dollar that I put into this was worth it to see him transition, because that's the idea.
Very
true. I can
tell
you and point out all your problems all day long. We're tired of that. Where's the solution? And so that was a way for me to have a solution, and it worked.
Very true. That's very terrific. Now, before we get out of here, I do want to ask you about the marriage boot camp show and
okay.
about meeting Michelle. Could you tell me how you met Michelle?
Oh, at Blue Nell's house one Christmas. I was there to do an event for Blue Nell, as you know. Mm-hmm. I had me come in for different things. And basically, Michelle was close to Blue Nell. They were friends. And she had invited her over. She was one of the people that was coming to the event. And I was there, and bam, open the door, come on in, it's Michelle A.
And you didn't know who she was at first?
Not initially, no.
Right. I feel that helps, you know? You're not looking for...
I think it's like a... It's, you know, some people believe me, some people don't, honestly. Obviously... Who wouldn't know the voice? Come on.
The voice would be a giveaway.
That's how I did know her.
That would be a giveaway.
She didn't know me.
But yeah, most
so
people.
In, it wasn't like we kind of knew each other. I kind of said, hey, she said, hey, and she walked in. And then it didn't take long once she was in there. She started talking. I said, you know what? I don't even know. That got to be. I'm like, damn. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so, which really wasn't, you know, nothing crazy because we now had a lot of different people come through. So I kind of was just like, damn, you know what? And I thought that she was like super cool, beautiful. I mean, I was like, damn, she cool as shit.
All those things. I love Michelle as well. She has a wonderful voice. I do love Michelle. And I hope there's more projects coming in the future.
Oh, I don't know. I couldn't really answer that question.
That's okay. It's okay. But I do hope. There's hope out there. And what made you want to go to marriage boot camp?
Really to just kind of strengthen what was going on between us at the time. Just to get a better understanding. Because to be honest with you, you know, I guess with everybody knowing so much about her and really nothing kind of about me, I had felt like as a man that, you know, maybe I needed to get some things, you know, out in the open to see, like, where do I stand at to become a better lover, a better relationship, because I was in some relationships prior to that. Obviously, they didn't work out, or I wouldn't have been in a position to start dating her. And so, like, this was an opportunity because I realized that you know, I grew up in a single parent household. My father died when I was 12 years old. After that, my grandfather died. And so truthfully, like, I didn't have that positive role model growing up for me to kind of school me, I would say, to what it takes to actually be, you know, what we consider a good man. And so never playing the blame game, but just being factual that a lot of us, in a sense, grew up off of, you know, the hip-hop culture, the rap music. And so I'm glorifying behavior that realistically wasn't good qualities to have and possess for somebody in that. So, like, I'm listening to the music, and we went from, you know, brothers and sisters to N's and B's, you know what I'm saying? And we just changed everything. And so, like, watching the videos, and you got to dress like they dress, because after all, they got the girl that you want, you know what I'm saying? And so this is what I kind of subconsciously took in. And so it was some things that I really probably had wrong. And now that I went through the training, I understand some of the things that I was looking at that was actually the wrong way, you know what I'm saying? And just understanding love languages and understanding the thought process. And so with everything that you said that I got going on, from cooking for celebrities and working on foundations, you know, let's not forget I'm a father of three kids as well. And so, like, there's a lot of different hats that I wear throughout. And so taking myself to Marriage Boot Camp kind of was a chance for me to say, okay, look, let's put everything that you got on pause. I like to say, take a break from your career life to work on your personal life, because I just couldn't find the time to just sit and just try to figure out how to make relationships work better. I actually had the opposite approach to it. If it don't work.
That's a lot of folks.
There is no trying to fix it or willing to put in more. It's like, oh, you know what? I'm gone. I get it. But I wanted to kind of
stick it out.
So I felt like this was a great opportunity for that.
Well, you guys make a wonderful couple.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, depending on what episode you watch. But nah, she's it's a lot more to it than what we're seeing, unfortunately, you know what I'm saying? But if it just was just a thing where, you know, start to finish, it was just constantly, you know, going back and forth. Who wants to really want to be in those type of scenarios? You know what I'm saying? And it went from super cool, and then all of a sudden it seemed rocky. And so I guess it was just up and it was down. But for the most part, she's definitely amazing.
Definitely amazing. Now, Chef, I really do appreciate you stopping by today. I thank you for coming by the party.
No, thank you for having me at the party. God bless you. Can I send them to my social media?
You sure can.
Go get on there. All right, I know y'all just met me yesterday, but please act like I'm your long-lost cousin. And go and find me, Chef Stew, on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, hashtag Chef Stew. I'm everywhere. I got a bunch of clips on YouTube so you guys can get familiar with me and see some of the food that's going out, learn some fun things. I have a video that's called Becoming Chef Stew, the Hardest Working Man in the Culinary Arts Industry. I would advise you guys to go and watch that, because a lot of times we start with the celebrities and the television, but I want you guys to go back into the work ethic, because if I didn't take my work ethic serious and my skill set, then I don't get the opportunities that presented themselves later. So, like, don't start at the end of the story. You got to go back to the beginning, or it's not going to make sense for you.
And for everybody who just grabbed a piece of paper, don't worry. I'm going to put all those links to all his social media in the description to this episode, so you can just scroll down and click away. And thank you again, Chef, for stopping by. I'm going to say goodbye to these people in my house, and then we're going to stay on the line.
Okay.
All right. Thank you guys again for listening to the show, for stopping by the party. I appreciate it so much. If you will go listen to the Pamela Roxanne playlist on Spotify. If you're on Anchor, then you already get music with your podcast. It's as simple as that. Go type in my name, click the cartoon, and jam, honey. I'll see you guys next week.